day. I'm not gonna be long before you, because as my pastor has taught me, you stand up, speak up, shut up, and sit down. All in that order. But today there is a word from God. There is a word from God. So let's go to prayer. The gracious and heavenly Father. Father, how we thank you for another day, another opportunity to worship you, to give you praise, glory, and honor. Father, as we come, there may be some that is hurting today. There may be some that's confused today. But we know that you are not the author or the finisher of confusion. We know that you are a God that is just. You are a God that is loving. So we thank you, while the blood is running yet warm in our veins, for being here today in your house of worship. I ask that you step forward and I stand back. I ask that you stand out and I stand down. I ask that you pour out of me what you put into me, that we, your blessed people, may receive a word on high for encouragement, to enlighten our lives, to invigorate our lives, and to know that we serve a sovereign God. Ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Get my eyes out. Those of you that are able to stand, would you please stand as we reverence the word of God. We're going to look at the book of Job this morning. And we're going to first look at verses 1 through 11. And we have some other verses, but I want to start with 1 through 11. And it reads, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." Verse 2, "And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. But Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually."
Yeah.
"Now there was a day," and I want us to look at this. "There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Verse 9, Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he have on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Verse 11, But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he have, and he will curse thee to thy face.
Yeah.
May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his holy word. Amen. This story, you may be seated. This story of Job is a very prophetic and profound story. Amen. It's a story that starts off in gladness, but it also is a story that ends with sadness. But on the other side of it, it comes with more gladness. Today, I want us to look at a deeper meaning of this story of Job. There's a deeper meaning. There's a deeper purpose. A lot of times we can read the book of Job and gloss over it and say, okay, I understand it. He went from riches to rags, back to riches. But no, it means so much more than that. I want all of us here today to walk in Job's shoes for a moment, to look at his side of it, and to see your life in Job. Take your name and put it in Job's, on Job's name. Take his name out of the equation and put your name. All of us in here can attest to a tragedy or some horrific event that we went through and are going through. But just know that God has the best for you, that what may be your tears today is your testimony tomorrow. Your test is just a testimony. Here in the book of Job, starting in verse 1, Job, by all accounts, is a good man. He's upright. He's righteous. He fears God and he eschews evil, or he hates or dislikes evil. But why did this happen to Job? We can ask that question 1,000 times, but we know why it happened. But just think about it. When something's going on in your life and you don't understand it, and you give it to God, and then all of a sudden it seems like it's getting worse, and then all of a sudden your faith dropped. Job was a man of faith. He was a man of integrity. He even interceded for his children. Don't you know, saints, that we got to intercede for somebody? We got to pray for somebody, not just ourselves, because it's never just about us. It was never just about us when God saw a need for us. But here in this chapter of Job, this first chapter, Job went through something very tragic and horrific, and it can apply to our lives. Being a just and a right man, and being seemingly good, I want to dispel something for a moment. I want to dispel something here. When we say someone is good or seemingly good, I want to tell you my assignment today, my job, my duty today is to tell you that no one is good. I say no one is good. Listen to Isaiah 64 and 6. It says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." Listen, you're not so good. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not so good. You ain't all that. But guess what? God sees something in you. God knows something in you. And you might be saying, that's a good person. They didn't deserve that. What happened to that person shouldn't have happened. But it just said it right here. It's not my words. It's in the Bible. Isaiah 64 and 6. Our best is but dirt before God. Amen? So we go around and pop the collar and think we're all that. We're not. And God will let us know one way or another that we're not. But when you keep trusting God, I say you keep trusting God, you don't worry about the right now. You don't worry about tomorrow because God is holding you. He's keeping you. But where's your faith when something goes wrong? We put God on the back burner after he blesses us with something. I'm not saying anybody here or on Zoom, New Beginnings, but sometimes we throw God away like he can just be put on the shelf and taken off when we get ready. Job here was a man that was upright and righteous. He didn't do anything wrong. Yet he had tragedy come in his life. Have you ever seen that? You saying somebody's good? But look, we also say, well, that wasn't fair. Well, I come by today to tell you that I'm glad that God is not fair. Reason why I say God is not fair, he would have given you and I what we deserve. we would all be burning up in hell right now. We didn't deserve the food on our table, but I'm glad he did it. He woke us up this morning, but I'm glad he did it. We didn't deserve to go out and have a job, vehicles to drive. We didn't deserve the clothes on our back, but I'm glad he did it. God has been better to us than we've been to ourselves, and we deserve to give him all the praise, glory, and honor. Job here was an upright and standing man, yet this is what happened to Job. It was all a ploy by Satan. Now notice here in verse 6, Satan pops up on the scene. God has his angels in front of him. And we know Satan is an angel. He's a fallen angel. But the problem with Satan is he thinks he can always one up on God. You can't beat God. God is God. The same God that created heaven and earth. You can't touch that. Satan thinks, and this is his problem, that he can always beat God. Yes, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But look, Jesus came on the scene to take that away. Amen? So Satan shows up, and he's coming with a ploy or a plot. But see, God is so smart. He's so infinite in his wisdom. He baited Satan into something. He asked Satan, say, look, Satan, where are you coming from? Satan said, oh, I just been running up and down the earth, walking to and fro on it, reaping havoc. But Satan noticed he didn't say straight out, I've been causing despair. I've been causing depression. I've been causing death. He's trying to be tricky, but you can't trick God. You can't trick God. You can try and be a trickster if you want to, but God already knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in your mind before you even come to him. So Satan, he's coming with a ploy here. And God said, okay, I know you've been reaping havoc, but listen, also what I want you to understand, that even Satan has to get permission to wreck your life, to come in your life. If Satan does not get permission from God, then it's not going to happen. And the reason why I tell you that is God knows what he has in you. He knows what you can take and what you can't take. If he didn't think that you could take it, he would have cut it off way before it got to you. He would have took it away. God knows what he had you having you to say, she can handle it, he can handle it. But Satan came with a ploy, and God, he's playing chess here with Satan. Right now, he's going to put the check on Satan. He's telling Satan, hey, have you considered my servant Job? A righteous man, one that fears the Lord but hates evil. So God is baiting Satan here. He's drawing him in, and Satan is foolish enough to go for it. He's foolish. He's like that because he thinks that he can get over on God. When we sin, he goes to God, look, that's one of yours. Look what they did. But God said, I love them anyway. He said, you can be the accuser, the adversary of the brother. But look, God loves you anyway. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan is a destroyer, but God is a restorer. My topic of my sermon here today is restored double for your trouble. Restored double for your trouble. I wanted to wait to give you that because I want us to understand something here. God restored us to a right understanding and direct relationship to him. When he gave his son, Jesus Christ, he gave us the opportunity to be restored, but it's up to us to accept it. Here, Job, he not even knowing what's going on. And for everyone here, I want you to listen. There are things that go on in the heavenly realm that would affect your everyday walk of life and you not even know about it. There are things that go on in the heavenly realm that we are not privileged to. This is between God and Satan. And Satan is saying, okay, you got a hedge of protection around him. I can't touch him. I got to back up. And then God is saying, you know what? I'm going to give you the opportunity to prove me wrong. And God wins every time. Oh, yeah. He never loses. He never loses. So God gives him the opportunity to go ahead and touch Job's life. Job loses his family, all except his wife. He loses his animals. He loses his health. And Job's life is turned upside down. Think what that would be like for you or I. Four times someone came to him and told him about a horrific event. What would that be like for you or I? We'd probably be on lost our mind by now. Losing your family, your wealth, your health, and you don't even know what's going on. All you know that it's going. You don't know why it's happening. All you know that it's happening. But thanks be to God, because no matter what you go through, God is walking with you. He's talking with you. He's right there in that storm with you. And when you come out on the other side, there's going to be some good. There's going to be some shouting going on. There's going to be some hallelujah time going on, because God don't want you in a pity party. He wants you in a hallelujah party. Amen. So Job, he starts his day off. He says, I need to pray for my children because they may have cursed God in their partying and their drinking. He was an intercessor for his family. He was the high priest. That's what we got to do today, what I just said. We got to pray for each other. We got to pray for one another. We got to pray for somebody else. But what here, God knew what he had in Job, the same thing that you have in yourself. God knew it. But let me say this about Satan. See, Satan knows that you have something in you that you don't know about. I said, Satan knows that you have something in you that he can't touch, that you don't know about. Satan knows that if you ever get to that level of high maturity in the Lord, Satan know that you would wreak havoc on his kingdom. Satan know that you would just dump on his kingdom. If you ever get to that high level of maturity in the Lord, where he can throw his darts at you and they just bounce off. Why? Because you have the word of God. Job didn't have the word of God, but he had the faith. He had the faith in God. Today, we have the word of God. We need to trust God at his word. Amen. So as Job go forward and his day unravels, he hears these horrific events. My family gone. My animals gone. And to take it a little further, if you go to chapter 2, his wife tells him, Job, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Do you still hold fast to a God that will allow this to happen to us? And you still trust in him and believing in him? When our children are gone, our animals are gone, and he's still saying here, I trust God, no matter what the cost, I'm going to trust God. I say the same for you and I today. No matter what the cost is, you keep trusting God. You keep believing in God. Amen. We're going to look at verses 21 and 22 in that same first chapter. And Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord have taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. When he heard that, he didn't curse God. When he heard what happened with his family, when he heard that horrific event that happened, that turned his life upside down, what did Job do? He fell down to the ground and worshiped God in the midst of his tragedy, in the midst of his hurricane, in the midst of his storm. He's still praising God. I said, you're going to walk with Job with me today. What would that be like for you and I? Will you still trust God in this tragic event? Will you still hold your integrity to God? Will you still keep believing God? We serve a sovereign God. God knows everything. He knows your heart. He knows your desire. He knows your pain. He knows your suffering. And let me dispel something else about why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, God allows suffering for our good. God allows suffering for eternal purposes. God has a purpose and a plan for each thing that he does in our lives or don't do in our lives. And if he don't do anything else, he's done enough. You're crying today, but tomorrow joy, because we know weeping may endure for a night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning, but it's God's joy. He turns our tears into gladness, into rejoicing. So Job is a man that is depressed now. He's hurting. And his wife is telling him, why don't you just curse God and die? Give up. As believers, we don't give up. We get up. I say we get up because we serve an almighty and an awesome God. God don't want you down. He wants you up. Yes, you're hurting today, but God can bring you through your pain, just like he brought Job through his pain. Search yourselves. Think about it this way. If God gave you another day, that's another day to give him praise. It's another day to give him honor. That's another day to give him glory, because he didn't have to do it. Job, yes, he was a pawn in a game, but God knew what he had in Job, just like he knows what he has in you. When things get rough and the going get tough, God say, you know what? You can take it. You're going to be better today than you were yesterday, because you can take a licking and keep on ticking. Don't think for one moment that you can't handle it. Don't think for one second that you can't handle it. You have God. There are those in the world that don't have God. They don't want to know God. You come to them and you talk to them about Jesus and they're running. I was there. I was one of them. Oh, Lord, here comes this Jesus freak. But you know what? Something showed up in my life and I had to go to God. Listen, God is not the author or the creator of your drama, but he will bring you through the drama. Something had to show up in our lives to bring us to God. Something had to show up in the doorstep of our lives to bring us to God. We were wounded, weak, saddened, but we came to God. Now, it might have took us a minute being stubborn, being hard-headed, but when we got tired, when we got tired of trying to do it our way, we say, look at here, we're going to try God's way. And look what God has done. Glory be to God. You ought to shout glory be to God right now. You ought to give him the praise while you're in your seat. Because he thought enough of you. Now, let me say this. Your present situation does not define your future and your hope with God. Your present situation does not define your hope and your truth and your belief in God. You keep believing. You keep trusting. Because when it's all said and done, everything's going to be all right. And all is well with your soul. Amen? So he now is down on the ground worshiping God. Yeah. And we know as it goes further, he got these three friends. I want to talk about these three friends for a moment. Eliphaz, Bildad, and so forth. Don't you know you can have friends that one moment they with you and the next moment they get against you? For 7 days, zip, nada, nothing. They're lamenting with Job. They're grieving with Job. They're right there in solidarity with what Job is going through. But listen, as soon as they start opening up their mouth, that's where the problem came in. They don't even think about what Job is going through. Now, you have one moment where you're with him. You're grieving with him. And now you're blaming him. Job, what did you do that all this befell you? What kind of secret sin did you do? And I'm going like, when I was studying, I'm going like, my God, you with me one moment and then the next, you're blaming me? Job didn't do anything wrong. What happened to him happens to a lot of us. It happens in a way that we don't understand, but it's God's purpose to show us. If we say we have true faith and we believe in God, God is going to test your faith. I say, God is going to test your faith, and it might come not like Job, but it's going to come. You keep living. You keep thinking that everything's going to be all right. And one day you look around and everything that could go wrong is going wrong. The walls of life come crashing down on you and you don't have an answer. And you're saying, God, why did you let this happen? And God is saying, You remember last year when you said you were going to honor me and pray to me and read my word and come to church and worship me? And then I bless you with something that you've asked for and you put me on the back burner. God is not to be played with. God is not to be mocked. He saved you and I for a reason. What Job went through was a test that we all go through, a test that we go through in our daily lives. And if you haven't been tested by God, you keep on living. You keep on living, but you don't waver in your faith. Job was a man of unwavering faith, unnerving, unshakable faith. And it's a prime example for you and I. When we say that we trust God, do we truly trust him? When calamities come, when situations, we have a Job-like situation and we're saying that we're trusting God. We go to the doctor and the doctor said, don't look good. But guess what? Jesus whispers in your ear, he's the doctor on earth, but I'm the doctor in heaven. I'm the great physician. I'm the lily of the valley. I'm the way out of no way. That doctor can only do what he can do, but Dr. Jesus can do it all. Somebody here has been delivered from something, maybe in your health, your finances, but God has brought you through something and you need to hold fast to God's unchanging hand. Amen. There are many times where our faith is tested. And yes, we're human. We're full of emotions. We cry, but just know that your tears will be turned to joy. Job, a man that was upright, upstanding, all in one day, in a matter of hours, his life turned upside down. Think what that would be like for you and I. But there's a deeper meaning and a deeper purpose behind this story. And I want to reflect on that for a minute. When the rest of the story of Job, we know that it's his friends blaming Job. It's Job talking, his friends talking, but then God talking. Yep. But see, God had to talk to Job first. God had to talk to Job first. He had to talk to him a little bit. He had to remind him, I'm God. Where were you, Job, when I created the heavens? Where were you when I created the stars, the moon? Where were you when I created the foundation of earth? Were you there, Job? Is your understanding there? And Job had to back up and say, no, God, I wasn't there. I wasn't there. When you try to question God, you better look out. It's okay to ask God a question, but it's not okay to question God. It's okay to ask him a question, but please don't try to question God. Because believe me, you will not like the answer. You will not like the answer. So Job, after he finishes this with God and he repents, but the deeper meaning is this. After Job went through what he went through, after Job succumbed to all the hardship, all the turmoil, all the pain, all the suffering, all the misdeeds that went on that day in his life, after all of that, he held on to his faith. But what restored Job, what restored his life is after God talked to him and God told him to do something, something that we all need to do, and we do it. Prayer. It wasn't until Job went to prayer that his life turned around. And when his life got turned around, guess what? He got double for his trouble. Listen, whatever the devil took from you, stole from you, God is going to give it back. I say God is going to give it back, and he's going to give you double for your trouble, double in your health, double in your finances, double in your marriage, double in your family life. But you got to hold on to God. You got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. What worked for Job and why God restored Job is because he prayed for somebody else. I say he prayed for somebody else. He took his life out of the equation and he puts his friend's life in the equation because he wanted his friend saved. He wanted the salvation. And that's what we got to do today. We need our family saved. We need our community saved. We need our world saved. This world is turned upside down, but we got God, the creator of heaven and earth. Job went through a lot, but Job in the end got double for his trouble. But Job got double for his trouble. The reason why is because he prayed for somebody. He didn't worry about himself. God is pleased when we take ourselves out of the equation and put somebody else in the equation. God is pleased when we're praying for somebody else, interceding for somebody else. Job was an intercessor. Job was an intercessor, but you and I have an intercessor. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for you and I. His name is Jesus Christ. I said, he came. He came that you may have life and have life in him. Don't worry about trouble. Trouble don't last always. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You keep trusting God. Do like Job. Think about this. I told you it had a deeper purpose and a deeper meaning. The purpose is that God has the best for you, but you got to bring it to get it. Before you can get sanctified, you got to get justified. Before you get justified, you got to be glorified. How do you do it? In God. I said in God and nobody else. Trust God like Job trusts God. Your life would be much better. All of us in here say we trust God, but do we truly trust him? Do we truly trust him? Listen, when we're saying things with our mouth can say many things, but where's our heart? God examines our heart. He know if we being fake. He know if we being phony. Satan came to destroy Job, but God restored Job. Why? Because God knew what he had in Job. The same thing that he knew that he had in Job, he knew that he had in you. So stop throwing your pity parties. You trust God. Get away from the pity parties, because the pity party is only going to leave you with pity. And Satan plays off of that. But God restored you through his son, Jesus Christ. He wants the best for you. He wants you to walk with him, talk with him, tell him about your problems. Go to your secret place with him one-on-one when it's just you and God. Cry out to God. Do like Job. Get down on your knees and say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need you. Trust me. You will never go wrong, because just like God restored Job double for your trouble, he'll do the same for you. Thank you. God bless you and keep you.